In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. The focus of our chapel services for this Holy Monday through Holy Wednesday is the Passion narrative of St. Luke. The Passion narratives are the dominant content of each of the four Gospels, from which the rest of the Gospel narratives took their shape. Martin Kaler has aptly observed that the four Gospels are basically Passion narratives with long introductions. The oral proclamation of post-Easter Christians did not begin with the birth and baptism of Jesus and move forward to the ministry of Jesus that climaxed with his death. Rather, that proclamation began with the death and resurrection of Jesus and worked its way back to his ministry, his baptism, his birth, even his pre-existence. The narrative that defines Jesus and the church to which he has given birth as the one who has been baptized into Christ is the passion of his, is the narrative of his passion and resurrection. It is the narrative that now defines your life as one baptized into Christ. And that is why you hear it again and meditate on it again, especially each Holy Week. It is the narrative that will define the lives of the congregations you will one day serve in the future, as you will do all you can as a servant of Christ to draw your congregation and your community to hear this narrative proclaimed week after week, especially during this Holy Week. Luke mentions that the Passion of Jesus takes place in close conjunction with the Jewish festival of Passover, as do the other evangelists. Now, if you or I had the opportunity to pick which festival that Jesus would offer his life on, most of us would pick Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That feast explicitly testifies about Yahweh offering atonement of sins through the shedding of blood. In his wisdom, God chose to preserve the testimony to atonement accomplished by the Son's sacrifice through a new Passover meal. He chose to offer the Son at Passover, probably because that festival had a major meal associated with it. Yes, a vital part of why Passover is the meal that Jesus instituted as his last Passover, a meal that would proclaim his person, God in true flesh and blood, and his work, body and blood given as an offering for all sin, Holy Week after Holy Week, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, generation after generation. Why Passover? God thought about how this atonement event that took place on that first Holy Week would be brought to future generations like you. And he chose a feast with a meal that does just that each time we eat and drink it, as we will again this Holy Week. A sobering part of the Passion narrative is the weakness of sinful humanity in the story that it tells. I'm not just speaking primarily of the chief priests and the scribes conspiring against Jesus, as we heard as the reading from Luke started, but of the 12, of that inner circle, of those who had sat at the feet of Jesus. Here, the skeletons were never hid in the closet, namely in Luke's Passion, but they're put on full display, and even two of the 12, namely Peter and Judas, are giving warnings about their upcoming betrayal. The Jewish authorities, we understand, the 12 who were tutored by Jesus, how could this be? Luke does not hide these dirty little secrets, because it is in these disciples, along with all of the disciples who were arguing about who was the greatest, that we see ourselves in the passion narrative. Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. We say with Peter, we plan to confess Christ boldly from pulpits like this. We plan that our lives will be an example to others. But then the pressure situations to confess Christ come. And then we feel the pressure, much like Governor Pence felt pressure this past weekend. We feel the pressure and we cave under that pressure, even as we see the 12 caving. Yes, we realize as we read this passion narrative how weak those disciples were, and we see in them our own selves when we rely on our own understanding. Yes, Peter, Judas, and the rest of the 12 are in this narrative for your benefit. Their weaknesses are yours and mine. To these and to us, Jesus says, I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as the Father assigned to me, a kingdom that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. To them and to us, Jesus speaks unmerited grace upon grace. As Luke tells us earlier, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. If we have any doubts about God's love for us or God's forgiveness of our many sins, we look to this narrative and we have all of those doubts erased. We see our Lord praying for us, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. We see him suffering, sweating blood for us as he prays, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. We see him dying for us in our place. For many years, our students did not have classes during Holy Week. Cramer Chapel was empty. People were on their spring break. Many of the faculty remember those old days. A few years ago, as the curriculum was being revised, the faculty determined that all of all weeks when we should be together as a community of faith and learning, it was Holy Week. Because it is this narrative that defines our lives and our ministry. Hear it and ingest it again, for it gives you Christ crucified and risen for you. And he gives you abundant life, eternal life, resurrected life. In Jesus' name, amen.